This podcast contains explicit content and is not suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back to Always the Last to Know. I'm Ash.
I'm pleasantly surprised that my dog didn't bark. And Katie. I was like waiting for her.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Oh, yeah. The things that cue her to bark are super fucking random and super weird.
I gotta be honest, every time that she, like, growled last night at something, I was like, there's nothing. I know that you have super amazing hearing because you're a blind doggo.
Yeah.
But, like, you're also just a dog in general. But, like, I heard nothing and she'd be growling. I'm like, what? What is it? What can't I see?
Something's going
that
on.
That you're growling at.
Something's going on and she hears it.
Freaking me out.
It's always interesting when we're watching TV because someone will be like screaming bloody murder and she does nothing. And then someone will like jingle their keys and she freaks out. I know.
Goose, goose.
I know. What a crazy goose. Yeah, I could talk about my dogs forever. Genuinely may start a podcast just about them. But that's not this podcast. Hi.
Hi. Today is my last day here at Katie's house. I am leaving in a few hours. I know. Such a bummer.
Stupid.
I hate it.
Great. Awesome.
But we've had a great weekend. You now have split color hair. It looks great.
I'm obsessed with it. I'm absolutely obsessed with it. Still blue. Still, that's my color of choice. People are always like, when are you going to do other colors? Never. Just blue.
I heard her start to breathe. I heard her heavy breathing.
She like builds up to it. Everything's fine, honey. Gorgeous, gorgeous girls don't make noise. The other half of your... And the other half is like basically my natural color.
It looks really nice.
I'm fucking obsessed with it. So yeah, I've got new hair, new attitude, new hair, new me. Oh my God, what do they say on Wine and Crime? Or not Wine and Crime, and That's Why They Drink. There's this... They have like this one character on and That's Why We Drink. Love your hair, hate your guts.
appropriate.
And I think about that all the time. And I love that podcast. And if you don't listen to that podcast, you should. Not that they need my recommendation. They're amazing. Anyway, okay. So what are we talking about? What are we doing?
I don't really know.
Business.
I feel like
business.
We were not prepared for this intro today.
Business. Well, oh, you were going to say something before we started recording.
Oh, I was going to say that it feels like more natural for both of us to be wearing our headphones and doing this, even though we're right in front of each other.
It helps me monitor my own volume.
Yeah.
Like 100% is what it is about. I need it.
I'll be honest, even though we're using my computer to record, I'm not actually hearing anything in my headphones right now, but I like having them on. It feels weird without it.
Yeah. It feels weird without it.
I felt a little weird without the headphones last time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
But I like this.
Yeah. Headphones are a requirement. It's interesting because when we're together, we have to be a little bit different for editing purposes, you know, because we're on one microphone and
that's
it's one
true.
Track, whereas when we normally record, one of the person who's talking can just keep going because that sound can be edited out. That's interesting. Keep that in our donut. Oh, Goosey.
She said, yeah, that's crazy.
She got opinions. So, I mean, speaking of a requirement, that is a solid segue into what we're talking about today, honestly. As for things that should be required.
Goosey,
please. So, yeah, if we're talking about requirements, let's just get into it then.
All right. Sounds good to me.
Okay. Okay. So, requirements. We're going to be talking about sex education. Again, sort of, if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you may have listened to our first episode that we ever dropped, which was about sex education and
a lot.
Let's
talk about sex, maybe.
Well, that episode was all over the place, honestly.
Listen, it was the very first one.
Yeah.
Our structure was not there.
There was no structure.
There was no structure.
None at all. Our microphones, not good.
Sounded like shit.
Yeah.
We had no idea how to edit.
I had no idea how to research. I'm going to be honest. And things have been updated and things have been changed. So we are going to be redoing our Sex Education in America episode with a focus on why sex education is important and some of the laws surrounding sex education and the response. Because if states are, you know, going to be allowed to make laws that put bans on abortions and put restrictions on our bodies, I think it's really important that we take a look at our knowledge about bodies, vaginas, wombs, all the things.
Yes, because some of these men who are making these laws about bodies that are not theirs have no clue the first thing about the bodies that they're trying to govern.
None at all. And I feel like the language that they use is really specific. So you hear a lot of things like 16 weeks late. Yeah, that's like pretty common, actually. That's like only missing your period a couple of times. And for people like me who had really irregular periods, happens a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
I also just saw, and I don't know which state it was in or where it was happening, but a man was questioning a woman in some kind of governmental area.
Yep.
He said something like, "Do you think it's okay to abort if the baby is halfway out of the birth canal?" Did you see that also?
Yeah, I did see that. I did see that.
And she's just sitting there and she's like, he keeps saying that she's not answering the questions. And I'm like, no, you're just asking questions that literally don't, that's not a thing.
That's not a thing.
That's just birthing the baby.
Yeah.
What?
That's, yeah.
No woman is killing a baby.
Yes.
When it's halfway out of her birth canal, you fucking moron.
And if they are, that's not what an abortion is.
Yeah. How are you the one making decisions about my body if that's the kind of question
exactly.
you're asking?
Exactly. And there was another one about testimony about like IUDs, and there's a lot of discussion happening between two men who I think have never had IUDs before.
I think that they have no idea what the fucking IUD actually is.
Yes, and I say that as a person who has one. And, you know, did as much research as I could beforehand, but I'm not fully, like, up to, I don't know, I couldn't sit down and explain it perfectly to someone. It's not like, you know, I don't need to get into what I don't know about IUDs right now.
But you know more than these men trying to make laws about exactly. our body.
Exactly. And sex education is kind of the beginning of this. Is it not? I mean, we as a nation seem to be skirting around the conversation of sex's role in humans' lives.
Yeah.
We're talking about sex strictly for pregnancy and, you know, what to do about that if it comes up. And we're talking about birth control, but it's all based on what we do or don't know about sex education.
Yeah.
So there have been a lot of misconceptions thrown around by men in the government about birth control, periods, and pregnancy. And the best way to make sure that people are having safe sex is through education. But talking to anyone about sex isn't necessarily the easiest thing. And talking to kids about it seems not okay. And like, you know, like your first thought is like, where is Olivia Benson? Like, we're talking about sex and children, but education that we provide is supposed to prepare young people for life ahead, which includes sex.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, in some circumstances, that doesn't always include being so far ahead. It includes non-consensual actions that happen to children.
Yeah.
So let's look at some of the laws that surround sex education and shape the programs in the school systems. The Guttmacher Institute has recent numbers that are really shitty and really terrifying.
Hit me with them.
And they are very up to date. Like, they're constantly updating this. So 26 states and DC mandate both sex education and HIV education.
Okay.
Two states mandate only sex education, and 11 states only mandate HIV education.
Interesting.
Right? I wonder how do you have an HIV conversation without sex education?
Yeah. And why is that mandated but not the other?
I don't know.
Because, like, when, if you're not going to mandate sex education, when would you be having that conversation about HIV?
I mean, maybe it comes up in, like, a drug thing.
Health class?
But isn't health class sex ed?
I guess.
It should be.
It should be.
It should be all the same thing. Okay.
And I'm saying I guess because I'm going to be honest, like, in public school, I had 1 year maybe where we had, like, a sex education class, but it was not... It was, like, the fifth grade, and it was honestly not anything that I remember or that I found useful or pertinent. And then the next thing I remember about sex education is that one time they had that lady come to, and she was there all day to teach us. But the only thing that I remember is her putting a banana on, or a condom on a banana.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I remember.
I remember us being collected in the dining room and all of us having the same sex education at once with all of our teachers at once.
Yes.
Awkward.
Yeah, very awkward.
Like, most people just have sex ed with one teacher, and that's awkward. Now imagine all of your teachers watching you have sex ed.
In the dining hall.
In the dining hall where you eat food. Now... This isn't to say that, like, these laws, these states that don't mandate sex ed don't have sex ed. It's just they don't have laws that require it to be taught.
Okay.
I don't know if they do or they don't. I couldn't really find that.
So then it's really just left up to the school districts.
Yes.
Okay.
And
that seems problematic.
Well, I honestly wonder, like, if some, like, hopeful, naive person thought that we didn't need to have these laws in place. Almost like a situation where it's like they're assuming we don't need to say these things. It's like, yeah, you guys are going to teach this because of course you are. It's important.
Yeah.
And that's sort of how this next sentence happened. Only 18 states require sex education to be medically accurate.
18 out of 50.
50. And DC.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Like, I assume they're of like, oh, you know, of course the sex ed you're going to have is accurate, medically accurate. We don't have to tell you it has to be. You're going to do it. But...
And we know that that is very much not the reality.
The reality.
Oh, my God. Do we know which states?
Oh, I can pull up which states require it.
I would love to know. I hope New Jersey is one of them.
I'm positive that it is, not by looking at this, but just because we do, I bring up a cool thing that Jersey does later.
Oh, the new thing?
Mm-hmm.
That people are,
there that are people, like, freaking out about.
Yeah, there are people freaking out about it, and I'm like, hi, we're just trying to teach your kids the proper names for their body parts so that they can know when someone's doing something wrong to them.
Well, and it's a little bit more than that. It's actually really incredible and really beautiful, and we're going to go over it.
Yay!
Because I actually have it pulled up.
Nice.
And I want to talk about why people are upset about this.
Okay, awesome.
And how it's fucking bullshit. The states that require sex ed or HIV education to be medically accurate by law. Arizona has it for just the HIV education. California, Colorado, Hawaii, Illinois, Iowa, Louisiana, Maine, Missouri, New Jersey,
nice.
North Carolina, Oregon, Rhode Island, Tennessee, Utah.
Shocking.
Yeah, Virginia and Washington. And then Oklahoma requires that HIV education be medically accurate.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Utah.
Yeah, Utah surprised me. Sorry if we have any listeners in Utah. Like, sorry, but it did. It surprised me.
It took me by surprise.
Yeah. But also, I wonder if that means that for a little while it wasn't medically accurate, and then someone came in and was like, okay, this needs to fucking stop. This needs to be medically accurate. This is unacceptable. A lot of people are getting, like, STDs.
Yeah.
I wonder if there was a causation. Again, sorry, Utah listeners, or let me know if you agree. So, 26 laws. Nope. States. 26 states have laws that... require the education to be age appropriate and, like, genuine.
How do we determine
Genuine question. What does that mean? What is age appropriate? And who decides this? I think it's different for every state. I didn't really dive into that breakdown individually because I don't think that that information exists on paper necessarily. And if it does, it would require a lot of research into all of the schools of these states and stuff. So that's not really something I was able to get. But how do we decide what is age appropriate? Is it the age that we as adults feel comfortable talking about sex? Is it the age we feel kids should be having sex? What? Ooh, that feels like an individual decision for the parents, but really for the teenager. You know, like, how do we have these conversations about teenagers having sex? Because we know it's happening. 16 and pregnant was a fucking thing. Like,
and it's also like, do we at least give a basis of this kind of knowledge of, like, these are some things that can happen if you are under a certain age, like, for younger children? Like, I feel like they should partially know so that if someone is doing something to them that is not appropriate, like a family member or someone close to the family, which is usually most times what it is when it comes to, like, sexual abuse with children, we need to be able to communicate things to them so that they can understand if somebody is doing something wrong to them and they have the vocabulary to be able to tell someone that they trust about it in a way that gets across what is actually happening. Like, last night we were talking about this.
I was just going to get into this line.
You told me about...
So, while there's a little bit before. Hold on. Okay. So, while there's little research on the subject itself, because it's really hard to, like, run a study on this exactly. There's a lot of evidence that proper sex education, which... really, depending on the age, is just telling kids the real names of their body parts and appropriate situations in which, for example, a doctor should be making a child undress while the parents are there because they're getting a shot in their tush for strep throat. Versus a very legitimate report on child abuse. So there is an instance in which a preschool teacher was hearing from, like, one of their students that, like, their uncle was eating their cookie all the time. And the teacher was like, God, this must be really frustrating for the kid, like, constantly getting a cookie and, like, the uncle's taking it. But she didn't think much of it. And then she had a parent-teacher conference in which she, like, expressed this offhandedly to the mom. And that's when the mom realized that cookie was the – pointed out that cookie was the term that they used for – the little girl's vagina, and that this girl was being abused actively, and that she tried to tell someone multiple times, and that the message was not heard because of an incorrect usage of incorrect terminology. So it's really important that we have these discussions. You don't have to necessarily be telling second graders about sexual positions, but, you know, by the time you're 8 years old, you should know that this is a vagina. And these are my breasts. And appropriate that someone situations. Else
who is not the same as you might have a penis. Like that.
Yeah.
They should know that word to know if someone's using that thing against them in a non-appropriate manner.
Because children don't necessarily know that gray area of being groomed, where it's situations where it just crosses the line but doesn't raise a ton of red flags. Unless you tell them. You have to tell children about that so that they know what to look out for. And those are the sort of things that would be happening in health class sex education. Like, all of that all of that goes under sex education, but people don't think about that. At all.
And discussions about consent, I believe, should be started with younger children, because it's not just about consent to your body sexually. It is. I have seen and experienced sometimes where children do not want to be hugged by anyone or certain family members.
Yeah.
And if you're being told by the adults in the situation, no, go hug your grandma, go hug your uncle, go hug whoever, mm-hmm. and this child does not want it to happen, then it seems like they're having a temper tantrum, and people usually go, oh my god, just give them a hug, give them blah blah blah.
Yeah.
Well, this child's telling you that they don't want to be touched,
yeah.
and you should be having conversations with them to tell them that it doesn't matter who it is. If you don't want to be hugged, if you don't want to be touched, you don't need to be, and it's okay to express that.
Yeah, and it's okay.
And no one should get offended
yes.
at the fact that you don't want a hug from them. No, yeah. This is my body and I don't want it violated in any manner.
Yeah. And another thing is like, when we're talking about that gray area that children don't know about, like, newsflash, pedophiles lie to fucking children.
Yep.
So the more that we reinforce, like, oh, I know you don't want to do this, but like, go hug them because you should. That's the same sort of logic a pedophile is going to use against a fucking child.
Yes.
You can't reinforce that. Okay. Now, back to sex education that will hopefully prevent this. 36 states. Whoa, Katie's voice. 36 states have laws that allow parents to remove students from sex ed and HIV education. Which is weird, because I feel like sex ed is the only subject in school where a student is allowed to skip because mom and dad said so.
Yeah.
Like, there are things that kids should be learning about their bodies in general, like consent and the names for them, as we just talked about. So what do the laws say about what teachers can and cannot teach? Speaking of consent, you know, these are really interesting to kind of break down what the laws want people to talk about. Of the states with sex ed, 20 of them have laws that require information on contraception. And I do need to point out, after a really basic search, it seems that a lot of people, groups, and places are using abstinence from sex as a contraceptive. So
sometimes I forget people can't see our faces.
Yes. Yeah.
Jesus.
And that every single state that teaches sex ed and or HIV education requires a provision of information on abstinence, with 28 of them require it being stressed. So majority
Why
of...
Why do I feel like that's Christians in some kind of authority making that part of the curriculum?
I feel like a lot of it is Christians. I also feel like some of it is just prudes, but also not prudes necessarily, parents who don't want to think about their children having sex.
Okay.
And parents feeling like, well, if we tell them about it, they're going to go and do it.
Well, they're going to get older at some point anyway. Make sure that they have proper information.
But also they're going to do it anyway, regardless of whether or not we tell them about it.
Yeah.
Because all of that stuff, whether it's heteronormative or homosexual, whatever, it's all everywhere.
Yeah.
Love stories are everywhere. We tell
it's
our
human it's, nature.
Yeah, like we tell our kids stories about like, oh, so and so fell in love and blah blah blah. Like it's something that's just ingrained in us.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't hold back information because like we don't want to think about our kids having sex. They're gonna do it, and it's better that they do it informed.
Yeah.
So 19 states require the importance of talking about waiting until marriage. Which that is definitely, in my opinion, based on the idea that, like, sex is only for procreation.
Yeah.
Which goes back to what we were talking about earlier. We're skirting around this conversation about what sex's role in our lives is.
Yeah.
Which is very frustrating and probably could be its own episode, honestly. 10 states and DC require inclusive content in regards to sexual orientation.
Yes.
5 states require only negative information to be provided on homosexuality and or positive emphasis on being straight.
What fucking states?
So it's hard because it doesn't separate the like negative or only positive on being straight, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But so under the when provided sex education must include sexual orientation, Florida says negative, Illinois says negative. Louisiana says negative. Mississippi says negative. Texas says negative. And then there's states like New Jersey, Maryland. There's a bunch of places that say inclusive.
None of the negative ones surprise me, especially when you said Texas and Florida.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course.
And thank you once again, New Jersey, for being inclusive. You might be expensive as fuck, but damn do I love living in you.
So Oklahoma has a thing where the mandated HIV education teaches that, among other behaviors, homosexual activity is considered to be responsible for contact with the AIDS virus.
Wow.
So that's super fucked up.
There are straight people who have it, but okay.
Shocking, right?
Wow.
Oh, my next line is, but it doesn't stop there.
It just gets worse.
35 states and D.C. require provision of information about skills for healthy romantic and sexual relationships.
Great.
Here's where things get really interesting in the wording. 24 states and D.C. require provision of information on asserting personal boundaries and refusing unwanted sexual advances. 11 states require the importance of consent to sexual activity.
Nice.
So the differences between refusing unwanted sexual advances and consent is interesting.
Yeah.
Because one of them seems like they're talking almost about, like, violent attacks.
Yeah.
You know, and then the other one is, like, consent.
Yeah.
And I don't love the 11 number. The 11 number.
It should be more.
It should be way more talking about consent.
Yeah.
That should be 50 states require, even if you're not going to talk about sex education, consent should be something that gets talked about.
And I don't think that it should necessarily just be consent in a sexual manner.
No, all the time.
I think that it should be consent for, you know, everything that you come across in your relationships with people and your boundaries that you can set. Emotional consent, physical consent,
bigger.
Sexual consent.
Go bigger. Everything. Legal consent. I mean, talk about it all.
Yeah.
Talk about every way in which you are agreeing to anything that should be taught in schools.
Mm-hmm.
All of it. Like, and the fact that it's not is mind-blowing. And the fact that only 11 states require consent to sexual activity education is ridiculous.
Yeah. Goosey goose. It's okay.
Okay. So that's actually the end of these notes.
Oh, wow.
Because I just wanted to kind of talk about the laws. Now we're going to do a deep dive into the State of New Jersey Department of Education 2020 Learning Standards for Comprehensive Health and Physical Education. As we talked about earlier, people have been freaking out about this. But I'm just going to kind of go over some things, and I want to genuinely ask both you, Ashley, and listeners, your thoughts and opinions on this. We'll get into ours. This is going to be one of the first times that I'm going to say, like, I am genuinely open to hearing your disagreements and why, as long as you remain respectful and kind and come from a place of wanting a genuine conversation. I would love to have that conversation with any listeners who want to talk about this.
Yes.
So the mission for this learning standard. All students will acquire the knowledge and skills of what is most essential to become individuals who possess healthy and physical literacy and pursue a life of wellness by developing the habits necessary to live healthy, productive lives that positively impact their families, schools, and communities.
Love it.
Absolutely love it. So they have a big focus on mental health awareness and relying on social and emotional support systems.
Love that.
Engaging in a physically active lifestyle.
Love it.
Maintaining awareness of health and wellness and how to access resources.
Love that.
Recognizing the influence of media, peers, technology, and cultural norms in making informed health-related decisions as a consumer of health products and wellness services.
Ooh.
Love it. Practices effective cross-cultural communication and conflict resolution skills.
Love that. Okay, that is something that we need to be teaching kids.
Absolutely. builds and maintains healthy relationships, mm-hmm. accepts and respects individual and cultural differences, and mm-hmm. advocates for personal, family, community, and global wellness, and is aware of local, national, and global public health and climate change issues.
Love it.
Everything
it
about
all
this.
Affects our lives.
So let's look at how they're breaking down this vision and mission and like, what they think goes into it.
How could anyone possibly be fucking freaking out?
Genuinely, I don't understand so far. They have it broken down by grades. By the end of second grade, by the end of fifth grade, and by the end of eighth grade, by the end of 12th grade. So what people are mostly freaking out about is obviously the sex ed stuff. So that's kind of what I'm going to focus on. But we will definitely include a link to this whole thing for people to read it because it's really interesting. So under the personal growth and development, there is a section where it talks about pregnancy and parenting. So by the end of second grade, kids would understand that all living things may have the capacity to reproduce.
Yeah. I mean, that's basic fucking human knowledge.
All living things. Not even just people, but like all living things. And I also like may have the capacity. Because not all humans do. Just want to put that out there. By the end of fifth grade, pregnancy can be achieved through a variety of methods.
End of fifth grade, let's see, how old are you? 10?
It's like 10, 11.
Yeah, I think at that point, some girls do get their periods starting at 10 years old. I got mine at 11.
Yeah.
Like, these are things that we need to know if our bodies are going to start doing that reproductive shit.
Yes, we would love for our periods and all of that shit to start later.
Oh, I would have loved
that. That'd be amazing. If we could have that option, mm-hmm. we would opt in for that. And then, yes, maybe we could avoid, you know, sex education. But our bodies are changing at that age, so kids have the right to know what's going on, yes. in my personal opinion. Okay. By the end of eighth grade, an awareness of the stages of pregnancy and prenatal care can contribute to a healthy pregnancy and the birth of a healthy child. Fair.
And 13, 14 by this point. Yep. Yeah. Things to know.
There are a variety of factors that affect the social, emotional, and financial challenges that are associated with parenthood.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Need to know this so that you can make informed decisions.
Yeah. And then by the end of 12th grade, there are a variety of strategies that individuals can use to prevent pregnancy and sexually transmitted infections. And there are many decisions to be made related to pregnancy and childbirth that will have short and long-term impacts.
Everything you need to know, especially by that age.
Yeah, perfect.
I don't see anything wrong with any of that.
Right? Okay, so we're going to dive into... I mean, there's a section on emotional health, which, like, doesn't relate to sex ed, but, like, awesome.
Great for the relationships that you need to be getting into.
Yes.
Or not that you need to be, that yeah, you may get into.
But that
into.
You may get into. Okay. So social and sexual health. So they define that as like a person's ability to communicate and interact with others efficiently, able to form meaningful relationships with others in healthy and appropriate ways, encompass respect and accepting differences of an individual's race, religion, gender identity, gender expression, ethnicity, disability, socioeconomical background, and perspectives of health-related decisions.
Okay, but I love that they added the disability into there because yeah. I feel like a lot of the times in these kinds of conversations, people with disabilities get left out.
Absolutely.
And we love to see the inclusion.
Yeah. And what I love even further is that they're going to be talking about the extent to which people connect with others in different environments, adapt to various sexual and social situations, and feel supported by individuals, institutions, and experience a sense of belonging, and how all of those contribute to both sexual and social health.
I mean, this sounds like a great way to help kids and teenagers become wonderful, productive members of society.
Yeah.
Who have good interpersonal relations with the people and the community around them.
Exactly.
I mean, this Sounds like a blueprint for creating a great quality human.
Yeah, let's take a look at the breakdown that they have.
Okay.
By the end of second grade, every individual has unique skills and qualities, mm-hmm. which can include the activities they enjoy, such as how they may dress, their mannerisms, and things they like to do.
Perfect.
Families shape the way we think about our bodies, our health, and our behaviors. People have relationships with others in the local community and beyond. Communication is the basis for strengthening relationships and resolving conflict between people. Conflicts between people occur when there are effective ways to resolve them.
Love it.
And that's filed under social and sexual health, because those truly are the building blocks for talking about difficult stuff later.
Yeah.
Conflicts.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
By the end of grade 5, all individuals should feel welcome and included, regardless of their gender, gender expression, or sexual orientation. Family members impact the development of their children physically, socially, and emotionally. People in healthy relationships share thoughts and feelings, as well as mutual respect.
That sounds wonderful. Yet again.
Yeah. Where's the issue? By the end of grade 8, inclusive schools and communities are accepting of all people and make them feel welcome and included.
Yeah.
Relationships are influenced by a wide variety of factors, individuals, and behaviors. Mm-hmm. There are factors that contribute to making healthy decisions about sex.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the end of grade 12, how individuals feel about themselves, their identity, and sexual orientation can be positively or negatively impacted by a wide variety of factors.
Yeah.
Healthy individuals establish and maintain relationships by utilizing positive communication and social skills to interact effectively with others.
Okay.
There are many factors that influence how we feel about ourselves and the decisions that we make.
Yeah.
There are state and federal laws which provide access to sexual health care services for minors and protect minors from unhealthy sexual situations.
Yep.
Why wouldn't we want kids to fucking know that?
Yeah. What the fuck? That's all.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I wish I did. I wish somebody had taught me that.
Absolutely.
This is all pertinent information to being a human being and existing in this world.
Absolutely. So then it continues to go into physical fitness, movement and skill concepts. And I don't think people are upset about that. Lifelong fitness. No one's upset about that.
That's definitely the sex part.
Yeah. So.
Got some prude bitches up
there. Personal safety is something that they do. And, you know, they want to teach children about, like, practicing setting healthy boundaries in fifth grade and
that. Yeah, I wish that I knew how to set boundaries in the fifth grade.
By the end of 12th grade, they talk about state and federal laws that are designed to protect individuals from abuse who that may help them break the cycle of abuse.
That's great.
It's incredible things. They go on to talk about diseases and medications, alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs.
All good things to talk about.
I am just reading things off of the page as I scroll because I want to make sure that I am not skipping anything important that is pertinent to sex education.
Listen, I think New Jersey's doing a great job with this. I really don't see what anyone's issue is unless you, for some reason, just don't want your kids to be knowledgeable about their own bodies and the situations around them.
This is interesting. Sexting. A Board of Education shall include instruction on the social, emotional, and legal consequences of distributing and soliciting sexually explicit images through electronic means once during middle school in an appropriate place in the curriculum as part of the school district's implementation of the New Jersey Student Learning Standards and Comprehensive, because of this. So that's interesting.
I actually love that that's a conversation that they have, because let's be fucking honest, we were all doing that kind of stuff in high school, and like cell phones were just a thing for us in high school. Like, that's usually when you and I were younger.
Yeah.
That's when you got your first phone, was when you were in high school.
Yep.
And kids have them younger nowadays. And that is something that needs to be talked about because we have a lot of new laws surrounding things like revenge porn or sending out that kind of stuff as a minor, things that are felonies. Like, that's a conversation that needs to be had.
Yes.
Especially at that age. Middle school, they have phones. They have phones now. They're going to start doing those things. They're teenagers. They're turning into teenagers.
Yeah.
You expect them to not. Come on. They might not ever tell you, and you might not want to believe that your child is going to do that. But in the end, we are all human beings with the same kind of desires.
Exactly. So, the response. Some backlash. Here's what Murphy and Republicans say. So, the issues exploded after the local school board in Union County shared example resources as districts prepare to implement this new standard.
Okay.
Because they are required to do so by the 22-23 school year. So by the next year, they're required to have implemented sex education that follows this.
Okay.
Republican lawmaker and conservative medias circulated these models. And opponents say they're too graphic. And warn that this is going to lead to children being taught insensitive subjects at too young of an age. And that it undermines the right of parents. Some critics say that some critics are accusing the left of indoctrinating kids with extreme views on sex. Which is weird, considering the things that I just read.
Yeah.
So, top Republicans in the state Senate sent letters to Democratic Governor Phil Murphy and Senate President Nicholas Scutari, calling for the state to delay the implementing of the guidelines to hold public hearings on them, even though they were publicly available online before the State Board of Education approved them in 2020.
See, when they say stuff like that, they're trying to make it seem like it was hidden, but it was not.
But it was not hidden.
Public knowledge.
Yeah. People are a rapidly growing number of parents are extremely concerned, and they believe the changes are inappropriate for their children or in conflict with their values.
I just need to say right now that most of these people who are upset about this. And remember, listeners, I live in New Jersey. I have these conversations with people in the community around me. The ones who are getting upset about this stuff have not read what we just read to you.
Yeah.
They literally hear what these pundits and what people post on Facebook and shit, and all of it's taken out of context. All of it has no basis as to reality.
Yes.
And that's what they go off of. They're not actually upset at the actual thing. They're upset at what people are implying it to be.
And
without doing the research themselves.
And the people who are upset are critics who are stirring the issue to push anti-LGBTQ rhetoric.
Oh, absolutely.
The people 100%. Who are upset that gender inclusivity and inclusive stuff is going to be taught in schools so their children won't turn out to be homophobic and may actually have the support and freedom to be themselves.
Yeah.
And that's not what their parents want.
Whoever that may be.
Their parents want to indoctrinate them. Sorry. Heteronormativity is stupid. So Murphy.
Right? Like, y'all really indoctrinated us. So we were talking about this last night where I was saying that I felt as though in high school that a part of me was pushed away by this system that was trying to tell it, Goosey, it's okay.
Don't be homophobic, Goosey.
By a system that was trying to tell us that we would be in trouble had we had any feelings towards someone of the same sex, and like really pushed that and shoved that down. Had we had any kind of support to the contrary, I feel like I would have been more comfortable in my own skin as a teenager, and I feel like my life would have had a different path.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm trying to reclaim that now in my 30s, but I've got this trauma from a place that really tried to tell us that we were doing something bad.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Like, trying to suppress that part of us. So, like, go fuck yourselves. Y'all were indoctrinating me with your straight lifestyle, and I still turned out not straight. So, thanks. Your indoctrination didn't work.
So Murphy had to say that, one, not everybody is dealing with the facts here, and that
yes,
some people are using the issue to score political points and further divide us.
Yep, 100%. I'm so glad he said that.
Still, Murphy also said that parents deserve absolutely to have a say in this sort of stuff, and that he is, quote, willing to entertain, quote, altering the standards if there are, quote, reasonable worries.
Reasonable worries, not based off of hyperbole.
Yes. At the same time, State Senator Vin Gopal, chairman of the Senate's Education Committee, said in a Facebook post Tuesday that most of what he has read in the articles about the controversy is not included in the guidelines. There's general rhetoric, language on identifying gender roles and treating all kids, regardless of their gender, with respect. Anything that is more specific than that is coming from a specific board of education locally.
Yep.
So yeah, a lot of this stuff is kind of left up to the schools, but the words are very broad, but the, you know, what they have to do, I think, is incredibly important.
Absolutely.
I
think it's a solid plan, and I really think that the outrage is very misplaced and absolutely for a political draw.
Yes. He did announce that he ordered the Department of Education to review the standards and provide further clarification on what age-appropriate guidelines look like for our students. Mm-hmm. Although I feel as though the ones that I just read were fine.
They're absolutely age appropriate.
The governor said that it's paramount our standards also promote inclusivity and respect for every child, including LGBTQ youth.
Yes, thank you.
He adamantly believes that the guidelines have been, quote, intentionally misrepresented by some politicians.
Yep, absolutely.
And that there are a, quote, handful of sample lessons planned. Sample lesson plans being circulated that have not been adopted into our school districts and do not accurately reflect the spirit of the standards. Meaning, I think that some people have created some samples that could be under these guidelines that are not what that they're going actually, for.
Yeah. To make it seem. And this is where we get into the disinformation about everything.
Exactly. Any proposed educational content that is not age appropriate should be immediately revised by local officials. So it kind of continues to go on to talk about other things, the Don't Say Gay bill and things like that, that have covered sex education and inclusivity education. But yeah, if you're in New Jersey, I highly recommend that you make your opinions on that education known, because as we're seeing, misinformation on sex education, bodies, pregnancy can lead to some really fucked up shit for people. And if you're going to be making any decision, you got to do it with knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
Dude, how long was this episode?
53 minutes we're at.
What the how do I do that? I had 2.5 pages of notes.
Listen, we had really great discussions.
That's
man.
True. Well, and we had to pause for Goosey barking a lot.
Yes.
But I was just, the things I can only do, the things I can do in 3 pages. So yeah, that's sex education. As I said, I would love to have a discussion with anyone who wants to about this.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll go live at some point.
Yeah.
And talk about this, like a Facebook Live or Instagram Live. We can plan that.
Absolutely. I would love that.
Yeah. But yeah, that's this week's episode.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
For any photos related to today's episode, please go to our Instagram.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at AL2KPodcast.
Like us on Facebook at Always the Last to Know Podcast.
If you have any questions, please email us at AL2KPodcast@gmail.com.
Please share, rate, and review us on your podcast listening app of choice.
Join our Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/AL2KPodcast or click the link in our bio on social media.
Thank you for listening.